I have a question that I want you just to meditate on for a second. Why did we have a need for Jesus to come to this earth to become a man? That used to bug me. Why did he have to do it like he did? Why did the Lord send the Spirit of God that had been here forever? Why did he send him down here into the womb of a little girl and be born as a man and then grow up to be a man? Why did that have to happen? Why couldn't he have done it some other way? You know, so I began to search the Scripture. Why? Began to pray diligently and ask God to reveal to me why he had to do it this way. It looks like there could have been many other ways. You know, surely there's some other way that God could have done it instead of this way. I mean, think about the Savior and how he suffered for you and me. Looked like there could have been another way where he wouldn't have had to suffer so much. But when we understand this picture and see this, you'll understand why he had to suffer. We don't realize the power and the dominion and the authority we have because of what our Savior did on that cross 2,000 years ago. So that's what we're going to talk about today. In Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through in the King James, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning. Everything has a beginning. And as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way before me. God always sends somebody to prepare the way. You know, he doesn't do anything without telling us. Verse 3 and 4. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That was his job. Verse 5 and 6. And there went out unto him, how many? I have people all the time tell me, you know, I don't see where you get this, that people have to repent of sin before they can be prayed for healing. Well, let me show you one of the places right here. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were, how many?
All
of them were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, I don't know about you, but if all of Judea and all of Jerusalem went out to John, and he baptized them all, and they confessed and repented of their sins, somewhere in there, they got rid of sin. Is that right? I don't know how many places I've been, and I don't know how many people have told me, Mr. Scrivener, I never seen in the Scripture where Jesus required us to repent of sin before we could be prayed for healing. And I thought, well, what book are you reading? If you hadn't read it yet, Mark chapter 1 is a good place to start. In fact, I've caught so much flack when we were in Norway about this same thing. I had some pastors that come against me. This is not in the Scripture. So one night on TV with 150,000 viewers, I taught right here out of Mark chapter 1. And after I taught that night, one of the guys in the group that was there at the station, he come down and he said, sir, I have to repent to God and to you. He said, I was one of those that was giving you so much flack. But he said, you made it very clear tonight that all those people did repent of sin. I said, I didn't do that, but Jesus did. He's the one who told us that. That's where I got that. So when I teach you something, I want to make sure I got something to back it up. And it's got to be in the Word of God. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of his skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Now, you think God called you to do something that's tough? How would you like to be dressed like that and eating wild honey and locusts? I don't really like locusts, I don't think, you know. I guess if I had to eat them, I would. I hope that day don't come. And verse 7 and 8. And he preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me. He's the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now see, Jesus is coming to become a man, so while he's here, he will be able to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. So if you get baptized with the Holy Ghost today, who is it that baptizes you with the Holy Ghost? Jesus. He is the baptizer. He is still the one that does that. You know, there's so many people out there that does not understand that, but Jesus says, if you obey me, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and then I will put power within you to do great and awesome things. From this beginning, we had here the beginning of the gospel. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I was talking to a young man just the other day. He said, you know, I don't believe all this stuff, because he said, you know, there's too many controversial issues. I said, like what? He said, well, just like in the beginning, did God do it in a 24-hour day, or was it longer? I said, have you ever researched that? He said, no. I said, well, see, that's why you don't know. I said, let me tell you, from a man that researched that years ago, I had that same question. And I guarantee, according to the Hebrew, he made the earth and the galaxies and everything on it in 6 24-hour days. Morning and evening were one day. What did God make the first day? Anybody remember? Hey, light. Yeah, that's what he made light. So he must have made the sun that day, huh? Oh, you think that's the day he made the sun? The fourth day he made the sun and the moon. But there was light all the time. So the sun and the moon's not our source of light. I mean, we think it is, don't we? But it's not. The light was made on the first day, but the sun and the moon wasn't made till the fourth day. So it's kind of interesting. But then we're going to go down to verse 26 in Genesis 1, 26 through 31. And I want to show you something here that the Lord gave us. And God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. When God made this, he gave us dominion over what? Everything. I mean, everything. Wow, that's something to think about, the dominion and the authority that he gave us on this earth. Verse 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, this is something else that's interesting. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but he made them male and female right there. But it's way on up in the scripture till it says, and he took Adam and he took the female part out of him. Right here, when he made them, he made both male and female in one being. It took me a while for that to soak in. He made them male and female, but they were both in one being right there. But when you study the scripture, you'll find out that a little later that he took Adam and put him to sleep, and he took the female part out of him so he could see her. Because at this point, they were both one. I think about how we think, and we don't think like God. I know I didn't for years, and I still don't much, but I try to. But I had a phone call yesterday from a man, and I just got in just time to listen to it. I haven't called him back yet, but we will. This guy said, I want somebody to call me back from this ministry. I have a friend that has brain cancer, and I know that God is in this ministry. He said, the reason I know God's in this ministry, because Pastor Thurman was out at Northwest Airport a while back, and I was fueling my airplane, and I was crippling around. And he walked up to me and said, what's wrong? He said, I told him I'd had an accident, and I had steel in my legs, and I was in tremendous pain all the time. And he said, he served a God that could turn steel into flesh and bone. Could he pray for me? And I said, yes. He said, he knelt down and held onto my legs, and he said, I've never had a pain in my legs since that day. Now, how big is your God? That takes some knowing your God. The God I serve can turn that steel back into flesh and bone. And I guarantee he will. If you'll let me pray for you, I guarantee he'll do it. Takes faith. When you get a hold of this picture, who are we serving? Oh, some fly-by-night cowboy? Oh, no. We're serving the one that made all this stuff. It's the one that spoke and it all came into existence. So they no problem him turning steel into flesh. And I've seen him do that. I don't even know how many times I've seen God do that. I've seen it many times, both in men and women. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Dominion. We are supposed to have dominion. If we're supposed to have dominion, why is it when a little mouse runs out, some of you girls crawl up on us? I know none of y'all ever done that, have you? I have seen some guys. Do I have a dominion over these little things? Yeah. Sure I do. I mean, I'm not afraid of those little things. You should have been with me this Sunday afternoon after church. A guy come by and asked me to go rattlesnake hunting with him, and we killed 43 big rattlesnakes that afternoon before dark. You know, and I remember, I was not afraid of any of those things. I remember laying on a ledge up there, and I pulled myself around the ledge. We was pumping spray and gasoline in a hole to get them to come out, and they were coming out, and many of them were 4, 5, and 6 feet long. And I pulled myself around the edge because there was one getting away up there, and I was going to get him with a pistol I had. And when I pulled around the corner of the rock, I'm looking right there, and about 6 inches from the end of my hand was a rattlesnake there with his little tongue sticking like that. I just turned the barrel around, stuck it right in his mouth, and shot him. And I wasn't the least bit afraid. You know, I have dominion over these beasts. That says there, he has given me dominion over all this. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed To you it shall be for meat or food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. When you get a picture of this, in the beginning, when God made this, he gave us complete dominion and authority and power over everything as long as we give our allegiance to him. Do you see that? We had all this power and authority. Let's go to Genesis 2, 15 through 25. And the Lord God took the man, and he put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that you eatest therein thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, I don't think this man was short on intelligence, do you? And then verse 21 and 22, let's go on down. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he the woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, wow, that's what he said. I know that's what he said. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me, man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When a man and a woman meet and they leave to go off together, how long are they supposed to stay together? Forever. I'm going to tell you, if you don't obey God, you ain't going to like the consequences. They're going to be awful. And how many men and women do I know that suffered those consequences? Thousands of them. The divorces are rampant, and it should never be. In the beginning, this is the way God did this. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They didn't have to wear clothes back in those days. We were covered with the glory of God.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Why Did Jesus Become a Man? Or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.